And when I woke up, I was sick. Not only from what I had drank that previous night, but the burden of sin was heavy upon me. And not only that, but I was so sick, I knew if I died at that moment, I wasn't prepared to meet God.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Raymond Sparkling Eyes, and I'm from Goodfish Lake, Alberta, Canada. And I have been a Christian now for over 50 years. And so it's been quite a long time. But to begin with, as a child, I went to school with white kids, and we had to walk 3 miles, and the first school we went to for 3 years, and then 1 year we went to another school that was 4.5 miles from our home. Later on, when I was about 13, I went to a residential school. It was all native school. But at home, growing up at home, well, most of our livelihood, was a large family of us. There was 8 of us kids. So when I was about 16, I started helping my dad just to make a living, really. We did trapping in the spring, and then we also did a lot of timber work, like working with logging, like sawing, and also we would cut posts for farmers and sell these fence posts to farmers and different things like that. We would also work for farmers and all these things. That's the way we made our living. Also hunting and fishing. I belonged to a religion, but, and went to church and all that, but it wasn't until I was about 19 when I first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he came to seek and to save that which was lost. By this time, when I was 19, I was really, my life was in a mess. Growing up in a fairly good home, that is, there was no drinking, and things like that. And my parents were quite strict with us, but not overly strict, but they were quite clean living. But as I grew older, I departed from that kind of home training. And then as I grew older, what I really sought in life was fun, like dancing, things like that, and be a party of some kind, like young people would get together. Well, I try to be kind of the kind of leader in such places. That kind of living was dragging me more into real bondage. That is, I just was really in need of some kind of a different lifestyle, because this life I was living, although kind of the leader on dance floor and also in a ball team, things like that didn't really bring fulfillment in my life. There was some lack. And then I begin to search for something better. And there was a young man in our reservation that became a Christian. That is, he had found something in his life that seemed to really bring satisfaction to his life. And I began observing his life, and I know that this is what I was lacking in the kind of life I was leading. And I craved for this same kind of life that he had found. But still, because of the bondage I was in the pleasures of what he called sin, and I just was not willing to let go. In fact, it was a hold of me. It was not that I didn't want to let go, but it really took a real hold of me, like I was in bondage. This went on for quite a while. I wanted this same lifestyle my friend had found, and it really came to the place where I not only seen his life, but I started listening to radio programs that presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, how a person can be forgiven of his sin, how he can get saved and all that. And then about that time also, there was a missionary that came to our reservation. And all these things, all these testimonies and messages, and also just watching the lifestyle of other people that were living for God, really made an impact upon my life. But still, I just was not able to really let go or let God do something for me. And it got to be so, I remember that one summer I was so so hungering for such a life, and yet, on the other hand, I know what it would cost me, because being a leader amongst the young people in the pleasures of sin, like, as I say, dancing and things like that of the world, I know if I took the step towards the Lord Jesus Christ, I would lose perhaps friends, and I'd kind of be an outcast in my own community. Or I didn't really know what would happen if I go to the ways of God. So this is what the thing that was really heavy on my heart is, because I knew if I became a Christian, certain things would have to go from my life. I knew the cost. So for a whole over, I don't know how many months, many months anyway, I really thought about these things seriously, very seriously. It got to the point that last summer, before I came to a decision, that I started putting dates. Like, we have treaty days here in our reserve, and I would say to myself, after this big sports day, I'll get right with the Lord. I will come to Him and accept Him as my personal Savior. And this day that I have set after this sports day would come, and then it would come and go, and still I didn't do what I intended to do. So I set another date, and this went on the whole summer. I'd set a date, and then it would just come and go. I still wasn't right with God. And it got so that I knew what I ought to do, because I believe the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to me, was dealing with me, and I was just not willing to do what he was telling me. And then this one Sunday, our ball team went to play a baseball game off our reservation to compete with some of the off-reserve people. And we played ball. I'm not sure who even won, but just after the ball game, they said there's going to be a dance after midnight. And that was announced. And so most of our friends, our ball team, stayed for that, for the dance. But meanwhile, as we were waiting for midnight to come, but shortly after the games were over, there was this preacher pulling a little trailer, and all that. He was living in a little trailer. But he started inviting people to come into this little schoolhouse there, and he was going to have a service, a gospel service. And a lot of people were going in, and there was not very many left outside. I didn't want to really go in, because what was bothering me, or because this voice that was speaking to me in my heart. So, but finally, one of my friends told me, well, everybody's going in. Why don't we go in? So we went in. When we went into the schoolhouse, it was full, and the only bench that was left in that schoolhouse was the front one. And, well, this preacher, first of all, sowed some slides, and there was prayer and singing. And I love to sing, because I was brought up in a church, but a church that didn't preach the gospel. They didn't preach how a person can get right with God, that is, how a person can be forgiven of his sin. The church I went to didn't preach that. But in that church, they sang this old songs like the gospel hymns that our forefathers many years ago used to sing, and even were still singing in a church that I was brought up in. And so I guess this preacher noticed that I was singing these hymns that he had chosen for the service. I was singing, and I enjoyed singing. And so finally the service was over. And right after the service, I was the first one that he came over to shake my hand and talk to me. But almost the first question he asked me was, are you a Christian? Are you saved? And this is the very thing that had been troubling me. And just to get away from him, I said, yes. And just that's all I said. And so he didn't say any more. Anyway, that night, I stayed for the dance, not only me, but most of our ball team stayed for the dance. And the dance started finally after midnight. And I think about the first dance I had. I'm sure it was. The girl I was dancing with asked me the very same question. Ray, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Man, I almost fell through the floor at what she said. Because I didn't expect her to ask me this very question that I was being asked by the preacher, and I just didn't answer her either. I just didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything. And that's the way I stayed for the dance, and there was a friend of ours had just come home from the army, and he threw a big party that night, and it was moonshine. And I came home. That schoolhouse is about 4 or 5 miles from our home. But my parents were away for that time. I was home all by myself. You know, I went to bed when I got home, and when I woke up, I was sick. Not only from what I had drank that previous night, but the burden of sin was heavy upon me. And not only that, but I was so sick, I knew if I died at that moment, I wasn't prepared to meet God. I had been running for a long time from God. He finally got up to me where I couldn't go any further. And it was in that condition I cried to God for His mercy. I have heard about the gospel, how the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, was born in a manger, grew up amongst people, walked on earth, and did miracles, and also taught about His Heavenly Father, about God. And then He was crucified on the tree. His body was broken. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. And at that very moment, I cried upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me my sin, to change me, that is, to come into my life. But also with it, I told the Lord then that I would serve Him until I die. It's over 50 years ago when I came to the Lord. I thank God for saving my soul, for changing my life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new person. I do thank God for the shed blood that cleansed my sin from my heart. But you know, I must say that the Christian life is not always easy. There are your old friends are not happy because you have chosen a different lifestyle. You have chosen to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that encourages me is when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other way but by me. It is only the way to the Father in heaven. It is through Jesus Christ. And I also thank God for the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the absolute truth. I have discovered that the promises in the Word of God are spirit and they are life. They have been a source of strength in my life and a source of direction. And also, as a Christian, I thank God for all His blessings. As a child, I think the stories were passed on from my grandfather. He used to tell me stories that were very scary, talking about the powers that the natives had a long time ago, like things like they had powers with animals, things like that, and just this one story, for instance. The Crees always had wars with the Blackfoot Indians. And this story goes that there was this one time when these Crees were out to go steal horses from the Blackfoot. They used to steal horses back and forth from each other. But this one time, they got caught somehow, and they were circled by the Blackfoot. They were in the middle. There weren't not very many people, not very many of them, maybe about six, or I'm not sure how many Crees, but they were all circled. And it got so that the Blackfoot pitched their teepees right around them, right next to each other. And that's where they stayed, and I don't know how many days. But there was a Cree woman that had been taken captive by the Blackfoot. And anyway, the story goes, this Cree woman shouted out to the Crees that were there in the middle, and said, tomorrow, they're going to roll these, they used to make rolls out of willows, like large, like would be something like a hay bale, I suppose, maybe even bigger. But they would roll them in front of them, in front of them, and they'd be protected so the arrows couldn't go through them. Anyway, that was what this Cree woman is saying. They're going to roll these things on you, so you better do something for yourselves, otherwise you're goners. So I guess they had a pipe and they circled each other, and they were sitting in the circle, I guess, and they start passing this pipe around. The first round, nobody took the pipe. And again, about the third time, they begged this one man. He said, if you don't take this pipe, we're all going to die. We'll all be killed. So after they begged for him to take the pipe, like he said, if you don't take the pipe, we'll be dead, but you yourself will not be dead. He said, you'll escape. So this guy finally, after begging him to take the pipe, he took the pipe. So he told his friends what to do. He said, tonight. He said, we'll go. will leave. So before they left, he said, I want all of you to close your eyes and we'll crawl out of here. But you have to close your eyes. If you open your eyes, then they'll kill us. I'll tell you when to open your eyes. So they started crawling that night. And then he told them, open your eyes now. You can open your eyes now. He said, when they opened their eyes, the Blackfoot camp was way back of them. They were a long ways. They had left the Blackfoot camp. And all the horses, the Blackfoot horses, were kept up there where they had crawled to, so they brought a herd of horses home. But a lot of people believed, you know, like my grandfather told me, they must have turned to snakes. Being raised up with that kind of a stories, I used to live in fear as a child, you know, for a long time. And I remember one time I went to play with some kids that would be about a mile from our place. Was during the day I come home. During the day I was about, well, I was just, I don't know how old I was, around maybe 10 or so. But I remember that I think I walked almost backwards all the way, so scared that somebody was following me or something. But it took a long time for me to get over, even after I was a Christian, you know. For a long time I lived kind of, not the same kind of fear I used to experience, but still kind of weird, you know, weird feeling. It is, but the more I understood the Bible, the more, you know, like these fears left me. I think because I begin to see that the Lord Jesus Christ came and defeated the devil. He came to defeat death. He came to defeat sin. He came because he is God, and all these other things, whether it be animals or anything, creeping things or anything, Jesus Christ created them, and he is over them, and he's trampled over them. And he has set people not to be underneath the animals, but to have dominion over them. To you that have been listening to me, all of you, whether you're in bondage of any kind, I don't really know what may be your lifestyle or anything like that. But the Bible says that we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. If you die in your sin, you cannot go to God, because God is holy. So your sin could be drugs, could be alcohol, could be any kind of pleasure. Any pleasure that is hostile towards God. Or you might be in bondage to fear. Fear of evil spirits. Fear of Indian religion. Fear of anything. the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is the all-victorious one. And he is the one that tells us, come, come unto me, all he that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ can give you peace, can give you rest in your heart, in your mind. But it is up to you. God has given to each of us a will. Like in my younger days, God gave me a will. But there came a time when I had to make a choice, to keep going the way I was, or to choose Jesus Christ. And I choose, I open my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never been sorry that I made that decision, because I'm not a young man anymore. But I will tell you one thing, that as the longer I live for the Lord, the sweeter it gets. Jesus Christ fully satisfies.
Do you believe that? Have you experienced what Ray is talking about? That Jesus Christ fully satisfies? Maybe it helps to think about it this way. Are you fully satisfied without Christ? For those of us who really know Him, this isn't a hard question. You see, there's nothing that brings lasting joy and peace except being close to Jesus, even when life is hard. When you are right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, there's nothing to fear, not in this life, nor in the life to come. Do you know Him? If not, put your trust in Jesus. He will save you from sin's penalty, set you free from sin's power, and give you a new life in Him. Listen to what God says in the Bible. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And my friend, if you do know Him but have wandered away, don't waste another minute. It's time to come home.
If you have any questions or comments about what you've heard, we'd enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Or you can phone us toll-free at 877-766-4648. You can also visit us on the internet at withoutreservation.com. Thanks for listening.